This is Passing Judgment, a podcast about the law and how it affects you. I'm your host, Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson. Think of me as your personal law professor as we navigate the big legal questions of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers. Hey, everybody, it's Jessica, and today I want to bring you a quick solo episode about two different legal topics that I've been asked about a lot. One is the 25th Amendment, and another is the Democratic National Committee's rules for what happens if President Biden either decides to step aside and no longer seek the nomination, or if he's basically ousted at a convention. And I want to say right off the top that I don't think either one of these scenarios is likely. I don't think that President Biden will step down from the presidency. I don't think that he will step out of the race. But I am getting a lot of these questions, and so I want to provide you with answers to those questions. So here we go. This is in the news only because of President Biden's debate performance. And it is obviously a huge long shot, but there is some discussion. And again, I don't think this is likely at all, but there's some discussion about what would happen if Vice President Kamala Harris decides that President Biden is incapacitated. And would she then become president? So I've gotten this question enough that I want to answer your questions here. So first, let's talk about the 25th Amendment. It was ratified and put into our Constitution in 1967. Why 1967? That's 4 years after JFK is assassinated. And it's no coincidence that this is a moment in our history where we are realizing that we really need strong rules in the Constitution about a line of succession. What happens again if the president dies, if the president steps down, or if the president is ousted? Before this point, we had a practice that we essentially adhered to make sure there wouldn't be chaos, but we didn't have anything in the Constitution. So a little bit of history first. This has been an issue all the way back to the 1840s. President William Henry Harrison in 1841 died of pneumonia, and his vice president, John Tyler, took over. He was the one that set the precedent that if the president dies, then the vice president takes over. One fun fact that I read about John Tyler is that his detractors referred to him as his accidency because he obviously wasn't elected to be the president. Now, fast forward a few years, President James Garfield, 1881, he's incapacitated for 80 days after being shot. There's no clear line of succession, no process for handling presidential duties during that time. Fast forward again, 1919, President Woodrow Wilson suffers a stroke. He's incapacitated for about the last year and a half of his presidency, and his wife and close advisors basically run the country. I think the understanding now is that there was no constitutional power for them to do so. And then again, even more recently, 1955 to 1957, President Eisenhower suffered three very serious health issues. And he and Vice President Richard Nixon had basically a gentleman's agreement about the transfer of power, but again, nothing in the Constitution. Then you have in 1963, the assassination of President John F. Kennedy Jr. There is absolutely the understanding that we have to put something in the Constitution. And that is the 25th Amendment. So the first part of this amendment is pretty easy. It just says if the president is removed from office or he dies or resigns, then the vice president becomes the president. That's what we all assumed anyway. That's easy enough. It's just solidifying the line of succession. Section 2 talks about a vacancy for the vice president. I'm going to skip past that. Section 3 talks about something that actually has been used, which is when a president is, for instance, under anesthesia. And at that point, what we have is a president who transmits a letter to the president of the Senate and the Speaker of the House and says, I'm going to be unable to discharge my duties, or I am unable to discharge my duties. And then the vice president becomes the acting president. This has actually been used a number of times during George W. Bush's presidency, then again during President Biden's presidency, and it's used for colonoscopies. And then you have the vice president for at least a few hours becoming the acting president. Now let's get to the section that is the most controversial, is the section that is in the news lately, and it's the section, let me emphasize, has never been used before. This is section 4, and it talks about what happens if the president is unable to fulfill his duties. And in this case, the vice president and a majority of the cabinet, or another group that Congress designates, transmits to the president of the Senate and the speaker of the House a letter that says the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. That's the specific wording here, powers and duties of his office. At which point, the vice president immediately becomes the acting president. Now, that can be the end of the story, but it's unlikely to be, meaning there's still an option here for the president to say, no, I'm just fine. So the president can then respond by sending a letter to the president of the Senate and the speaker of the House, again, the same people that received the letter from the vice president and a majority of the cabinet. And this letter can say, there's no disability that exists. I'm absolutely fine. Now, if there were some crazy situation where Vice President Harris and a majority of the cabinet transmit a letter to the House and the Senate and say that Biden is incapable of being president, at this point, it looks like President Biden would say, no, that's not true. I am capable of being president. So then what happens? It then is thrown back to Congress, and Congress can decide whether or not the president actually can fulfill his duties. And so what you would need is a vote of 2/3 by both the Senate and the House that says the president cannot fulfill the powers and duties of his job. And this is, for those of you listening at home, this is a higher standard than impeachment. Impeachment is a majority of the House and 2/3 of the Senate. So we can see here that those who drafted the 25th Amendment put a really high threshold in place to involuntarily remove a president. And that's because the president is elected and you're in a situation where you're using, frankly, kind of a nuclear option to take an elected president and remove him from power. So again, how likely is this to occur? I think not likely at all, but I did want to talk through what the 25th Amendment says, what it provides, and when it would kick in. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is related to this, which is what happens if President Biden, either before the convention or after the Democratic National Convention, steps down and says, I'm not going to run again. Now, this, I just want to say briefly, depends almost entirely on the Democratic National Committee's rules. So this is not about the Constitution. It's not about a federal statute or a state law. It's about a private organization's rules, and they can change those rules. But what I want you to know is basically if Biden steps down, then those delegates that are pledged to him can make up their own mind as to who to vote for. And so under the Republican National Committee, the delegates are bound, not pledged. Under the Democratic National Committee, the delegates are pledged, so they have more freedom. Now, there is an option, and I do not think this would be used, that even if President Biden does not step aside, the delegates could abandon him. And that's because the rules currently say all delegates to the national convention pledged to a presidential candidate shall, in all good conscience, reflect the sentiments of those who elect them. And so if suddenly there's this groundswell to oust Biden and say he should not be the nominee, then arguably under that part of the rules, the delegates could say, we're voting for somebody else. I think that is the least likely scenario. I think the more likely, but still not at all likely, is that Biden says, I'm out. and passing the torch, at which point doesn't automatically go to Vice President Harris, meaning he can say, I want all of my delegates to go to her, but it's still up to the delegates to vote. And it's still up to them to pick who the nominee would be. Just a couple more questions that I get a lot. Well, what happens to the money that Biden raised? Well, if Vice President Kamala Harris becomes the nominee, then she could likely tap into those vast resources because she's also on the ticket and she's basically on the filing for the Federal Election Commission when it comes to fundraising. Anyone else would basically have to do their own fundraising, couldn't tap into at least the majority of that war chest. What about ballot access in the states? I think for the vast majority of the states, still time to print different ballots. And so would this be a headache? Would it be unprecedented? Yes. But I think in many ways, the question is one of political will, not possibility or impossibility. So those are the two things that I wanted to talk to you about, the 25th Amendment and the DNC rules for what happens if Biden steps aside or if he doesn't step aside and the delegates just abandon him. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe.